Now, as gunshots echo across the windswept, snow-covered reaches of the wild Northwest, Quaker Puff Wheat and Quaker Puff Rice, the breakfast cereal shot from guns, present the challenge of the Yukon. It's Yukon King, swiftest and strongest lead dog of the Northwest, blazing the trail for Sergeant Preston of the Northwest Mounted Police in his relentless pursuit of lawbreakers.
On King! On, Huskies!
Gold! Gold discovered in the Yukon. A stampede to the Klondike in the wild race for riches. Back to the days of the gold rush. With Quaker Puff Wheat and Quaker Puff Rice bringing you the adventures of Sergeant Preston and his wonder dog, Yukon King, as they meet the challenge of the Yukon. Listen, all you fellas and girls, if you'd like to have the tireless energy, the vigor and stamina of Sergeant Preston in his rugged Yukon adventures, do this. Make the breakfast table your training table. Start every day with a nourishing He-Man's breakfast, including a heaping bowlful of Quaker Puffed Wheat or Quaker Puffed Rice topped with milk or cream and fruit. Every bowlful gives you added food values of restored natural grain amounts of vitamin B1, niacin, and iron. It's a nourishing treat that can't be beat. Quaker Puffed Rice or Quaker Puffed Wheat. A leaden sky and a chill wind sweeping down from the north foretold the coming of winter as the Yukon Queen steamed away from the landing at Selkirk and headed downriver toward Dawson City. Among the passengers lining the rail were a young husband and wife whose citified clothes showed plainly that they were newcomers to the Yukon. The woman was saying,
"Goodness, Steve, I'm certainly glad I unpacked my fur coat."
"Yes, I guess you'll soon be needing it. Looks to me as though it's getting ready to snow."
"Steve, look at that dog."
"Well, he's a beauty, isn't he? I noticed him when the Mountie brought him aboard. Coming this way."
"Hello there, boy. Goodness, aren't you a nice, friendly dog, though?"
"King isn't usually so friendly with strangers. You seem to have made a good impression."
"My wife's pretty fond of dogs. I guess they sense that and respond to it."
"You're right, they do."
"Well, by the way, let me introduce myself. My name's Steve Parker."
"I'm Sergeant Preston, Northwest Mounted Police. Glad to know you."
"This is my wife, Avis."
"How do you do, madam?"
"How do you do, Sergeant?"
"This your first trip to the Yukon?"
"Yes, we're Americans, as you probably guessed. Steve had to come here on business, and I persuaded him to take me along."
"I see."
"I'm going to Dawson City to collect a legacy from my uncle. He died in August. Maybe you knew him. His name was Leroy Parker."
"Oh, yes, I did. He managed one of the big mining syndicates."
"That's right. I never knew him very well, so I don't suppose I'll get much of a legacy, but I'm hoping it'll be enough to start up a business of my own when I get back to the States."
"Well, if you're going to be in Dawson for a while, maybe we'll see each other. I expect to be stationed there for the next few weeks."
"Fine, Sergeant. If Dawson's as tough a town as they say, it may come in handy having a friend in the Mounted Police."
It was a week later at the Hotel Victoria in Dawson City. Steve Parker was speaking to the desk clerk.
"Any news on when the next boat sails for the States?"
"Not yet, Mr. Parker. I'll let you know as soon as I hear."
Thanks.
As Steve Parker turned away to rejoin his wife, a heavy-set, well-dressed man questioned the clerk casually.
"There's something mighty familiar about that young fellow. Do you mind telling me who he is?"
"Why, sure thing, Colonel. His name's Steve Parker."
"Oh, where's he from, the States?"
"That's right. He just came up to Dawson to collect a legacy from his uncle, old Leroy Parker of the Ajax Mining Syndicate."
"Oh, certainly, I remember now."
"Yes.
I read about his death in the paper. Thank you very much."
The man who had just questioned the clerk strolled over to Steve and Avis Parker and spoke to the young couple.
"I beg your pardon, but is your name Parker?"
"That's right."
"I understand you're a nephew of the late Leroy Parker."
"Right again, but I don't believe I recognize you.
Well, permit me to introduce myself. I'm Colonel Slocum. I was a very good friend of your uncle's.
Oh, how do you do, sir?
And I presume you're Mrs. Parker?
Yes, that's right. How do you do?
Oh, it was very sad, your uncle passing away, Mr. Parker. Very sad. Believe me, I felt it as a personal loss.
To tell the truth, I never had much contact with my uncle. You probably knew him better than I did.
Well, I met him in connection with a business deal, but we became very close friends. I never knew a more honest and upright man.
You're in the mining business, too, are you?
Yes, I'm a mining engineer. I haven't made as much as your uncle, but I do pretty well. I suppose your uncle's will left you well provided for.
Frankly, not as well as we'd hoped. The legacy only amounted to $4,000.
Oh, well, tut, tut, you're young yet. Lots of time to make your fortune. Say, I wonder if the two of you would care to be my guests at dinner tonight.
How about it, Avis?
Oh, I'd love to.
Very well. Suppose we meet here in the lobby at 6 this evening.
After leaving the Parkers, Colonel Slocum returned to his hotel room. A wiry, sharp-featured man was waiting for him, dealing himself a game of solitaire while away the time. His name was Lou Grant.
Well, Slocum, any luck?
Yes, I think I got lined up a couple of little suckers.
Who are they?
That young couple I had my eye on. It turns out he's a nephew of old Leroy Parker. Came up here to claim a legacy from the old man's estate.
Legacy, eh? Sounds interesting.
Well, it doesn't amount to much, only $4,000.
That's about $4,000 more than we've got right now, aside from a couple of worthless claims. You got any ideas how we can get a slice of that money?
Yes, I got it all figured out. Now, here's the way we'll do it.
That evening, Colonel Slocum took Steve and Avis Parker out to dinner at the famous Monte Carlo Cafe. They had just returned to the hotel and were about to sit down in the lobby for a brief chat before retiring. And the man called Lou Grant approached and spoke to the colonel.
Colonel, I'm sorry to butt in, but...
Hello there, Grant.
Like I say, I'm sorry to butt in, but I've been waiting around all evening to see you. I wonder if I could talk to you for a few minutes in private.
Well, really, I hardly think I can leave my guests
alone. That's all right, Colonel. Go right ahead.
Very well, then, if you'll excuse me.
Of course.
Come along, Grant.
Colonel Slocum and the man called Grant went over to another corner of the lobby and spoke together for several minutes. Then Colonel Slocum returned and sat down with the Parkers.
Well, I'm sorry for the interruption. The fellow's an old friend of mine. He offered me quite a profitable deal, but I had to turn it down.
What is he, a sourdough?
That's right. His name's Lou Grant. He has a claim over on Gun Creek. He's just received word that his wife's dying down in the States.
Oh.
So he'll have to sell out at a loss and go back and take care of his family.
Goodness, what a shame.
Did he want you to buy his claim?
Yes, he offered to sell it to me for $2,500.
Was it really worth that much?
Oh, my. It's worth a great deal more than that. I looked it over personally last time I was over on Shotgun Creek. Offhand, I'd say the claim's good for at least $10,000 worth of pay dirt.
Holy mackerel, but look here, Colonel. If the claim's as good as you say, why don't you buy it?
Oh, I can't. You see, I'm going back to the States myself in another month or so. After all, the claim won't do me any good unless I stay here and work it.
I see. Colonel, how long do you suppose it would take to get all that gold out of the ground?
Oh, I don't know. I dare say if you worked the claim all winter, you could clean out most of the high-grade ore.
Steve, what are you driving at? You're not thinking of buying the claim.
Well, why not? $10,000 would be a pretty nice return on a $2,500 investment, especially when it's a sure thing.
Goodness, it does sound like quite an opportunity when you put it that way. But, Steve, can we afford $2,500? We'd have to buy supplies and a dog team, too, I suppose.
Now, look here. If you're really interested in buying the claim, just let me talk to Grant. I think I might get him to come down $200 or $300.
Golly, Colonel, that'd be wonderful. If he could do that, we could easily swing the purchase price.
Oh, you just leave it to me. I'll speak to Grant in the morning, and if he's agreeable, why, you can get together and talk business with him.
The following day, Colonel Slocum reported to the Parkers that Lou Grant was willing to sell his claim for $2,200. And the deal was concluded that afternoon at the hotel.
Well, my boy, I needn't tell you. You've just made yourself a very profitable investment.
I know that, Colonel, and believe me, Avis and I are mighty grateful to you for making it possible. Aren't we, honey?
We certainly are.
Oh, it was nothing at all, nothing at all. Always glad to help out my friends.
The next morning, Steve and Avis Parker set out from town on the 12-mile trip to Shotgun Creek. Avis was riding the sled. Steve was handling the team. They had traveled several miles from Dawson when they saw another sled coming toward them. A big silver-gray dog was running ahead of the team as loose lead. He bounded joyfully forward to meet them.
Steve, there's something familiar about that dog. Why, it's King.
You're right. And that's Sergeant Preston driving the team. Whoa, whoa there.
Old fella, how are you?
Hello.
Hi, Sergeant. How are you?
Goodness, it's nice to see you again.
Nice to see you folks again. Where are you heading?
We're on our way out to Shotgun Creek. We just bought a claim there.
Well, I thought you folks were planning on going back to the States.
We were, but we got a chance to buy a rich claim at a bargain price, so we snapped it up.
I see. You've already inspected the claim, I suppose.
Well, no. As a matter of fact, we haven't.
Don't you think it's rather risky, buying a claim sight unseen?
Well, ordinarily, you could guess it would be, but in this case, we have the word of a friend that the claim's worth at least $10,000. We only paid $2,200 for it. Our friend's a mining engineer, so he should know what he's talking about.
Steve, the Yukon's a paradise for swindlers. Do you mind telling me what your friend's name is?
Why, no. His name's Colonel Slocum.
Did you buy the claim from a man called Lou Grant?
That's right.
Sergeant, you don't mean that.
Colonel Slocum and Lou Grant are a couple of confidence men who always work together. They specialize in selling worthless claims. I'm afraid you've been swindled out of your money.
Oh, no.
Holy smoke, that's practically all the money we have in the world.
I may be wrong, Steve. Let's hope I am. But you'd better not count on it.
Is there no way we can get our money back?
Well, frankly, if you've signed a deed of sale, I doubt it very much. Slocum and Grant always manage to operate within the law. However, I'll see what I can do. You folks go on out to Shotgun Creek and look over the claim. In the meantime, I'll check up on Slocum and Grant and try putting a little pressure on them.
We'll continue our adventure in just a moment.
Ho-ho and a bottle of rum.
Shiver my timbers, Billy. You and Sandra must be playing pirates today.
Oh, yes, sir. Do you have any hidden treasure?
Let's see. Let me think. Why, sure I do.
Why don't you give us some clues?
And we'll try to find it.
Okay. The first clue is the kitchen cupboard.
Bet I've got it. It's a package of Quaker puffed wheat or Quaker puffed rice.
Fooled you there, Billy. Guess again.
Is the treasure inside the package?
You're getting warm, Sandra, if you mean those crisp, delicious king-size grains of Quaker puffed wheat or Quaker puffed rice.
Well, maybe it's those food values you tell us about.
You're getting warmer, Billy, because it's a hidden treasure you can't see. Like those extra food values of restored natural grain amounts of vitamin B1, niacin, and iron furnished by Quaker puffed wheat and Quaker puffed rice.
Gosh, I'm stumped.
Well, the best clue you could find would be when you pour yourself a heaping bowl full of Quaker puffed wheat or rice, top it with milk or cream and fruit, and then take a big, luscious mouthful. You can't see it, but you can...
taste it. Oh, I've got it. It's the flavor.
Right. It's the sweet, tempting, nut-like flavor that tastes so good you want more and more. Yes, sirree, all you fellas and girls will find a real taste treasure when you go for Quaker puffed wheat and Quaker puffed rice, the breakfast cereal shot from guns. Yes, they're actually exploded up to 8 times normal size to make them bigger and better tasting. Always remember to buy the big red and blue packages with the smiling Quaker man on the front. He's your guarantee that you're getting the one and only Quaker puffed rice and Quaker puffed wheat. Shot from gun. Now to continue. When Sergeant Preston arrived in Dawson, he told Inspector Maynard how Slocum and Grant had duped the Parkers into buying a worthless claim. The inspector frowned.
Too bad, Sergeant. I sympathize with the Parkers, but offhand, I don't know what we can do about it.
Well, with your permission, sir, I'd like to spend a little time investigating Slocum and Grant. Might be able to get something on them.
Certainly, Sergeant. Go ahead and see what you can find.
Right, sir. Oh,
by the way, do you remember Butch Dolan?
Why, yes, sir. He was one of the men who robbed the Yukon Express Company back in July.
That's right. There were three of the men on the job. Two were finally caught, but Dolan escaped over the border.
And the stolen money was never recovered.
Unfortunately not. Anyway, we've received a couple of tips that Dolan is back in the territory.
In that case, we should be able to pick him up.
I'm notifying all police posts to be on the lookout for him. In the meantime, Sergeant, you might keep your eyes open around town here.
I'll do that, sir.
Colonel Slocum and Lou Grant were seated in their hotel room. Both men were bleary-eyed and irritable as the colonel counted up what was left of the $2,200 they had swindled out of the Parkers.
How much have we got left?
Let's see, $420. Didn't take us long to get rid of that roll.
It sure didn't. If you'd just stayed away from the faro tables last night.
Go see who it is.
All right. Yeah? What is it?
I'm looking for a guy named Lou Grant.
That's me. What can I do for you?
I can talk better inside.
All right. This is my business partner, Colonel Slocum. Don't think I caught your name, mister.
The name's Brown. Joe Brown.
Well, I'm glad to know you, Brown. Haven't I seen you before somewhere?
Maybe. Grant, I understand you own a certain cabin on Shotgun Creek.
I did own it. I just sold it yesterday to a young guy named Parker.
Was he out there poking around the cabin before he bought the claim?
No. As a matter of fact, he never even saw the claim before he bought it. Why?
Has anyone else been living there at the cabin since last summer?
Not so far as I know. What in thunder are you getting at?
I'll tell you what I'm getting at. A friend of mine hid something at that cabin back in July.
Hid something?
That's what I said. He hid something at the cabin and now it's gone. You say no one's been living out there since last July. So it looks like you two guys must be the ones who took it.
Mister, I don't know what in thunder you're talking about. Who's your friend? What did he hide?
So you're going to play dumb, huh? Well, maybe this gun will jog your memory.
But I love a Mike Slocum. Is this guy crazy?
No, he's not crazy. I think maybe he's looking for $100,000, that's all.
What?
I knew this gun would make you start remembering.
Slocum, will you kindly tell me what this is all about?
Ever since this gent came in the room, I've been trying to place him. I finally realized why he looks so familiar. I've seen his picture on police handbills.
For Pete's sake, who is he?
His name is Butch Dolan. He's one of the men who robbed the Yukon Express Company last July. They got away with $100,000, and the money was never recovered.
That's right. There were three of us, me and Sneeds and Gano. When we split up, we decided that Gano would take the money and hide it at that old cabin on Shotgun Creek. We were going to meet there later and divvy up after things quieted down.
Yes, but instead your pals got caught and you had to duck over the border.
All right again. But now I'm back and I want that money.
What makes you so sure the money isn't still out of the cabin?
Because I was out there yesterday looking for it. I practically tore the joint apart. Now quit stalling and hand it over.
Yes. Well, I guess we may as well do what he says, Lou.
Now you're talking sense.
Money is over there in the top drawer of that bureau right in back of you.
All right.
Keeping the two men covered, Butch Dolan backed up toward the bureau. Reaching out with his left hand, he began to tug at the drawer.
What the blaze is the matter with this drawer?
Well, I'm afraid it sticks a little.
As Dolan yanked at the drawer, his attention shifted momentarily from the two men he was covering with his gun. Slocum saw his chance. He grabbed an empty bottle that was standing on the table beside him and hurled it at Dolan's head. Dolan sank to the floor unconscious.
All right, grab his gun.
I've got it. Now, what are we
going to
do with him?
We're going to tie him up and gag him and leave him right here. Then we're going out to the cabin and look for that money ourselves. Now, come on, we've got to hurry.
Half an hour later, when Sergeant Preston came to the Victoria Hotel looking for the two swindlers, he found out their room number and knocked on the door. Inside the room, Butch Dolan had recovered consciousness. Not realizing that it was a Mountie who was knocking on the door, he decided to attract attention by thumping on the floor with his feet.
King, there's someone in there. Door's locked. Who's in there? Get away from the door, fella. I'm going to break it down.
Sergeant Preston rammed against the door with his shoulder. The second time, the door burst open. As a The sergeant entered the room. He saw Dolan lying on the floor, bound and gagged with strips of bedsheet.
What's Dolan?
Dolan scowled with dismay at sight of the sergeant. In the moment, Sergeant Preston had removed his gag.
Mighty thoughtful of you, Dolan, to let me know you were in here.
Of all the lousy, rotten luck.
Who tied you up like this? Slocum and Grant?
Yeah, it was them, all right. Not get them forked, too, to sneak in polecats.
The only thing you're going to get's a jail sentence. There, now get up on your feet. Your hands can stay tied.
All right.
What happened to Slocum and Grant?
They probably skipped town.
Skipped town? Why should they?
Because they got their hands on that Yukon Express money. And they know doggone well I make them cough up.
Tell me the whole story.
Yeah, sure, I'll tell you. You can catch those two rats, you'll be doing me a favor. It was like this,
Butch Dolan told the sergeant how the stolen money had been hidden at the cabin on Shotgun Creek, and how he had figured out that Slocum and Grant must have taken it. When he was through, the sergeant said,
personally, I don't think they found the money, Dolan.
Why not?
With $100,000 in their pockets, I doubt if Slocum and Grant would be hanging around Dawson pulling petty swindles.
They haven't got the money. Why should they tie me up this way? And where in thunder did they go?
I have a hunch they went out to look for that money themselves. However, there's one way of finding out for sure.
What's that?
I'm going to put King on their trail.
Meanwhile, Steve Parker was preparing to excavate some gravel from the claim, in the faint hope that it might show some traces of gold. He had set a fire in the mine pit. When the ground was thawed out enough for digging, he tramped out the embers, began breaking up the hard earth with a pick. Suddenly, his pick struck on something metallic.
That's funny.
What's funny?
I struck something metallic. Didn't you hear it? Listen.
You're right.
Wait till I break this up a little more. Now, hand me that spade, will you?
Yes, Steve. Here you are.
Thanks.
In a few moments, Steve had uncovered a small brass-bound box secured with a padlock. He lifted it out of the hole.
Holy smoke. I wonder what's in it.
What's that lettering stenciled on it?
Yukon Express Company. Oh. Now, here. Take it. It's not heavy.
All right.
Now, wait till I climb out of here and we'll see what's inside of it.
Steve, someone's coming.
A moment later, as Steve finished climbing out of the pit, they saw that the team was driven by Lou Grant and that Colonel Slocum was riding the sled.
Hello there! Why, you huskies?
Well, hello there!
Steve and Avis ignored the greeting and watched coldly as the two swindlers walked toward them. Suddenly, Lou Grant's eyes fell on the brass-bound box.
Look, that's a Yukon Express Company cash box.
Yes, well, see.
What do you two want?
As a matter of fact, we want that cash box, and just in case you need any persuasion.
The gun!
Why,
no
you...
Don't reach for that pick, or this gun may go off.
What are we going to do with them, Slocum? If we leave them here alive, they'll squeal on us to the Mounties.
With $100,000 at stake, I have no intention of leaving them here alive. We're going to shoot them both and hide their bodies in the woods.
A few minutes later, Sergeant Preston halted his team in front of the cabin. There was no one in sight. The sergeant saw Slocum and Grant's dog team. He also saw the Express Company cash box lying at the edge of the diggings.
King, they found the stolen money. Let's see if anyone's inside the cabin. Steve! Avis! They're gone. King, I don't like this. We've got to find them, boys.
The great dog dashed out of the cabin. He had caught the urgency in his master's voice. His nostrils told him that the occupants of the cabin, as well as the men he was trailing, had gathered at the edge of the diggings. From there, the scent trail led off toward the thickly wooded hillside that rose in back of the cabin. King started up the hillside, and Sergeant Preston followed on the double. It was dark and gloomy in among the trees, and as they pressed forward, they were slowed up by thick tangles of underbrush. Suddenly, a shot rang out.
Down, King!
The shot creased the sergeant's parka. He ducked behind a tree for cover and drew his gun. King flattened himself among the snow and underbrush. The shots were coming from behind the huge trunk of a fallen tree, well screened by bushes and shrubbery. The sergeant returned the fire.
You better give yourself up, Slocum.
In case you don't know, Preston, we've got two friends of yours here with their hands tied behind
you. If you harm them, you'll pay for it.
We haven't hurt them yet. If you don't throw down your gun, come out from behind that tree. At least get a bullet through the head.
King, you know what to do, boy. Circle around and work up behind them. Go on.
Well, what about it, Preston?
I'll have to have time to think it over. You still haven't told me what happens after I give up.
The sergeant continued to parley with Slocum. He knew that it would take several minutes for King to carry out his orders. But as he kept on playing for time, Slocum finally lost his patience.
No more scouting, patience. I'm going to count up to 10. If you don't come out with your hands up by that time, we'll shoot the parkers. 1, 2, 3.
Suddenly, Sergeant Preston heard a savage snarl and a yell of pain.
Ah, look out, it's Preston's dog!
Sergeant sprinted forward. He saw Slocum jerk up into view as he whirled to deal with King's attack. Preston fired. Lou Grant's hand had been slashed to the bone by King's fangs. Before he could recover the gun with his left hand, Steve Parker had butted him off balance with his head.
Why, you? Help! Get that dog off me!
King, I've got him covered, boy. Get your hands up, Grant. You're both under arrest in the name of the Queen.
Later, when the group had returned to the cabin and Sergeant Preston had attended to Slocum's wound, Steve Parker told how he and Avis had been marched up the hill with their hands tied.
Thank heaven you and King arrived in time, Sergeant.
You had a mighty close call.
What I don't see is how they knew that cash box was hidden in the claim.
We didn't know where it was located. We were just coming to look for it, and you saved us the trouble.
Too bad it couldn't have been gold ore I dug up instead of stolen money.
It's just as good as gold, as far as you're concerned.
What do you mean?
The express company posted a $5,000 reward for the recovery of the stolen money. You'll collect that $5,000.
Honey, did you hear that?
Steve, our troubles are over.
Yes, and so are the careers of these two swindlers, now that this case is closed.
In just a moment, Sergeant Preston will give you a preview of Friday's adventure. Here's the breakfast that wins the praise of so many top action Hollywood movie stars.
It's Quaker Puffed Wheat.
Or Quaker Puffed Rice.
These ready-to-serve cereals are shot from guns.
They're crisp and tender.
They're shot through and through with nut-like flavor, too.
Pour yourself a bowl full of Quaker Puffed Wheat or Quaker Puffed Rice. Add milk or cream, top with fruit.
It's keen.
It really hits the spot.
And it's good for you. Take a tip. Ask Mom to order both delicious kinds in the big red and blue Quaker packages. That's Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice. Listen Friday when Sergeant Preston and Yukon King meet the challenge of the Yukon in the case of the prodigal father.
When King and I drove up to Lookout Hill to question young Tom Elliott in regard to his shooting, he cleared himself easily. But by the time all the facts in the case were in my possession, both Tom and I had been made prisoners by a band of desperate men. Criminals who were determined to murder us.
Be sure to hear this exciting adventure Friday. These radio dramas, a feature of the Challenge of the Yukon Incorporated, are created and produced by George W. Trendle, directed by Fred Flowerday, and edited by Fran Stryker. The part of Sergeant Preston is played by Paul Sutton. They are brought to you every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at this same time by Quaker Puff Wheat and Quaker Puff Rice. The breakfast cereal shot from guns. Remember, for delicious hot breakfasts, enjoy Quaker Oats. The giant of the cereals is Quaker Oats. Delicious, nutritious, makes you feel ambitious. The giant of the cereals is Quaker Oats. And here's why Quaker Oats is called the giant of the cereals. There's more growth, more endurance in oatmeal than any other whole grain cereal. So make your hot breakfast nourishing Quaker Oats. Quaker and Mother's Oats are the same. This is J. Michael wishing you goodbye, good luck, and good health from Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice. So long. This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.